Hello, I'm Dr. Richard Friend. Taking control of and improving your health requires the most relevant and timely health information available. And University Medical Center is here to help with facts and advice about important health topics that you care about. We know that your health matters. Welcome to the Health Matters Podcast.
Dr. Martha Crowther joins us today for this week's Health Matters surrounding geriatric mental health. Dr. Martha Crowther is the Interim Chair and Professor of the Department of Community Medicine and Population Health and Associate Dean for Research and Health Policy for the College of Community Health Sciences. She provides behavioral health care to patients at University Medical Center, which is operated by the college in the Family Medicine and Behavioral Medicine Clinics. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So tell us a little bit about what are some of the issues that our geriatric community face when it comes to mental health?
Okay, that's a great question and a passion for me, actually. So the number one issue is caregiving. So a lot of older adults, we have a huge population that has dementia. It falls under this Alzheimer's disease. But we also have older adults who fall, who have strokes, other types of health issues. Caregiving comes up, who takes care of that older adult? So often if we're talking about minority families, that's a real issue because the person who likely takes care of them may still be working and they have to either take off work or pay for someone else to provide care. And the care can be really expensive. So often having formal care is cost prohibitive. So they end up taking off work to manage the care themselves. There are agencies like Alabama has the AAAs, the Area Agencies on Aging, that can help with that, but many caregivers don't know that. So I think, one, caregiving, I think, is the number one problem. And what we also need to do as a part of that is make sure we're providing the information, just broadly speaking, to the general public, hoping and putting it in settings where older adults would be and or their loved ones, so people learn more about what resources are available. So from minority mental health, often the families are under-resourced and can't provide the care, and or they don't know about the resources that are available that could help them. And that care can be costly, and many, many caregivers end up losing their jobs if they're still working. If the other issue that comes up with caregivers is their own health. So when they start taking care of a loved one, often their health declines. So it's really important as a caregiver to learn how to manage your own health as well as the health of your care recipient.
And why does that happen? They just kind of forget about themselves and they're just kind of all in for taking care of the patient?
That's exactly what happens. So you talk to them when they go to their own health care provider, which, by the way, they start to skip their own appointments. They have their medications that they forget to take or they don't get the refill. So they're not intentionally trying to ignore their own health. It's just difficult to manage their care as well as the care of someone else. Really, particularly for minority caregivers, this caregiving is an issue across the country. I gave a talk to an international law firm earlier this year because they had so many lawyers who were starting to have to provide care for their relatives. And this is a resource group, clearly, and they were still struggling with, do you do in-home care? Do you do placement care? What that looks like, because every family has their own culture. And minority families, the culture is to keep your loved one at home. Well, how do you keep your loved one at home, even if you have the resources, when that just doesn't fit into your overall life? So does that make sense? Like, how do you figure that out? And they're typically the people who provide the care. I have to say this. When they're siblings, everyone feels like they have to do the same job. So if I could say anything to any caregiver, but absolutely to minority caregivers, spread the work around. But that's not what happens. Everyone feels like they have to be there to do the hands-on care. No. Someone can cook, someone can do the hands-on care. If someone can just provide resources, take the resources, right? So everyone fights over one thing. When the job is large enough and everyone could do something different, it would decrease the amount of tension within a family system, and it would make it easier for the person who's kind of maybe doing the heaviest lifting to manage the load.
And you mentioned manage the load. I think it's important for families to maybe just kind of, like you said, advance planning, because a lot of people have a lot of siblings, because I know I've heard somebody say, you know, a mom can have six kids and she can take care of six kids, but the six kids can't take care of mama. So it's always a rift when it comes to this, because you have some people who just ain't gonna do it. And that creates a rift. So I think like you said, advanced planning. How important is that to kind of, because we know our parents are going to age. So
yes. Okay.
Just getting a plan in place.
All of us need a plan, just so we're clear. All of us need a plan. By the time you turn 40, if you don't have a plan, shame on you. So we all need a plan. But particularly as you get older and as your parents age, to encourage them to get a plan is incredibly important. The plan is for health. The plan is for finances. So like being a durable power of attorney is fantastic. So that's someone who's thought through, who will manage my finances if I can't? Who will take care of my health if I can't? Who will make my health care decisions? Having those plans in place is really important. People always think that they'll just sell the house. Right now, in the U.S., it's 7 years to spend down. Like, you have to spend down 7 years prior to when you becoming sick. So this idea that once the person is sick, they will manage, that doesn't work, right? So, so I think if you do advanced planning, you're talking to people. I am not a financial planner, but you can talk to someone who can kind of walk you through. And just so we're clear about that, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to have a lot of resources to have an advanced care plan. You can go like to area agencies on aging. There are other places that can help you create that plan for yourself and help your aunt or help your loved one do that. But those plans are incredibly helpful so that when someone is sick, basically you have a playbook for how to manage financially and in terms of the health. And that's really important. So then it, because you don't know physically, sometimes people have physical health issues as well as mental health issues, and both of those are occurring, that can be pretty costly. But partnering with someone like AAA or reaching out to them, they can help you figure out how to manage both of those as well as your health care providers.
And these plans need to be on paper, right?
Yes, absolutely on paper. I'm so happy you said that. So what often happens, and a part of this that I did not mention, was also planning for your death. Like, do you have a burial plot and all those kind of things? No one wants to talk about these. The literature shows that families hate this. Families cross-race, nobody wants to have this conversation. But once the conversation is had, it's incredibly helpful. And then when that loved one is sick or needs something, everyone knows what to do. So again, it kind of goes back to the playbook. No one wants to develop the playbook or talk about the playbook, but once you have it, now you have your place. So
or just really or just getting somebody to do that, because I know with my parents, my dad will not talk about it. So my mom has done for both of them. So you got to have somebody.
Yes.
You got to designate somebody because you say it's going to happen. We got to get it done. Mm-hmm. So that's just very important to making sure that everything is on paper, right?
Yes. And often families avoid it because it just feels uncomfortable. But sometimes they avoid it because they think it'll cost a lot. And again, there are places that can help you with that if you are a lower resource family. So money should not be the reason why you don't have a plan.
And you mentioned mental health care in the geriatric community. Is that an issue? Is that something you're seeing?
Yes. So older adults, typically, once they develop physical health issues, they often develop mental health issues. So if you have the older adult who used to be very physically active and now they can't anymore, right? So now they're sad. Or if they have friends who have passed away, family members, or their adult children who have moved away. There are lots of reasons why they may develop mental health issues. Now, some start, like they may have Alzheimer's or something else, depression or anxiety that aren't related to physical health issues. But a lot of those things increase with age. But in part, it's increasing because as their physical health changes, as they start losing more and more of their friends, does that make sense? Particularly of friends and their close friends and siblings, then it becomes a little bit more difficult for them to cope. And this idea, because some better resource families often move their loved ones closer to them if they have moved away. Well, now you've taken that loved one away from the community that they know, and that community provides a tremendous amount of formal or informal support for them. So being able to think about, that's going back to the advanced care plan. So being able to think through those things, sometimes that just has to happen, but thinking through and how can you make that happen in a way that the loved one still has at least some of their things, their stuff, their, I don't know, a few people would be really helpful.
And that's something we need to keep in mind whenever we take our parents out of their routine.
Yes.
Because they are very into a routine.
Yes.
So we have to keep that in mind.
We absolutely do. It's just like we do the planning with our children, right? But we don't necessarily do the planning with our parents or participate. I don't want to take away their rights. We don't participate in the planning with our parents or other older adult loved ones. But it's important. And if they don't have, some people have the same physician they've always had, But if they can get a geriatrician, that would be phenomenal, right? So geriatricians, their sole practice is designed to work with older adults. And they typically work with social workers or other health, mental health providers. So you kind of walk into a setting that you get the mental and physical health you need in one place.
So do we need that for our parents, or is that something we can get at AAA?
AAA may be able to refer you, but just talking to their current healthcare provider may be able to do it, or it may be time to then suggest a different healthcare provider.
Anything else you want to add on that topic?
I think only last thing that I'll say along that is just managing the medications. So we know often, not all the time, but often as we age, our health conditions increase and we're taking medications. So it's really important. We talked about the mental health, physical health, but it's also managing the medications that may be going along with or helping to control those mental and physical health issues. Sometimes older adults can do that, but often we leave them alone to manage their meds too long. So just making sure that their memory's intact, they're able to track their medications is a really important part of making sure they stay healthy mentally and physically.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Crowther, for joining us today for Health Matters Report.
Thank you.
To learn more from us about these and other important health topics, visit cchs.ua.edu. And for all your primary health care needs, visit University Medical Center with locations in Tuscaloosa, Northport, Demopolis, Fayette, and Carrollton. Thanks for listening.